2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are labourers together with God, for we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That will do for the moment. What shall I do? I've got this cyber sermon, you see. Cyber sermon. And how would old folk know anything about a cyber sermon? Because that's to do with computers. And unless you have a computer, then you won't know what I'm talking about. You see, we have email, we have e-commerce, we have e-everything else, and now we're going to have e-ministry. I'll just give you a clue, and you must get a computer, folks. You must get a computer. It's just a lovely way to commit. All you know about them is that they're terrible things, don't you? You know that. I guarantee you know that. That they're very, very terrible things. So is a motor car. So is your TV. So is radio. You can commit sins in a motor car that you couldn't commit when you didn't have one. What's the point? Use and abuse. You ladies are going to have to order your bread, butter, meat, milk, dresses on your computer. See how important it is. Write to Eunice Rhodes. Because Eunice is a missionary. And when I write to Eunice, we write, and if the assembly has a gift, it gets there eventually. And then she writes back, and my news is out of fashion, old hat. And her news, when I get it back 3 months later, if she's not too busy, and she is busy, I dips me lid to those people who go out into the front line. But it's a look, I wrote on Thursday morning. And I said, Eunice, I'm pleased to know you've got email. And I got it back Thursday night, and she said, I'm pleased to know you've got email. And here's my prayer letter. And we sort of improved things by about 180 days. Because now all it is a means of communication. You know the way you pick up your phone and you dial? Well, you turn the computer on, you jiggle the buttons and you're getting a message across, but it's a one-way message, and then the other end, they receive it, and then they respond the same way. Oh yes, it's a terrible thing when it's abused. And parents, you've got to watch it, because it's only young people who would get involved in the corruption that is on the worldwide net. Because we older people don't have a problem with the flesh, do we? We wouldn't get onto the chat room and talk the filth that young people would be encouraged to do, would we? So let's log on. That's called logging on, dialing, you see. And clicking on is sort of homing into certain parts of that communication network that you want to get on. So you old folk, just excuse me for using these very technical terms. So we're logging on. www.heaven@holyspirit.com. Immediately we're in touch with heaven. And when you pick up, it comes up on the internet, that page comes up on the internet, then we'll click on recruitment. And then when we click on recruitment, we'll click on human relations department. Not the employment office. Used to be the job boss, didn't it? Then it became the employment office, but now it's a human relations. That's all you are. You're just a human being now when you're working for a boss. A very special human being when you're working for this boss. You'll never have a master. You've never had a master on earth like the master you've got in heaven, you know. Never. I've had some good bosses and I've had some tough bosses. But I've never had a master on earth like the master in heaven, because no master down here would ever have put up with my performance in the workplace. So we're on to recruitment, we're on to human relations, and the next thing we hit is P. Positions vacant. Positions vacant. No believer needs to be unemployed when it comes to the heavenly calling. No dull queues in that office. Endless opportunities, positions vacant. And we've read about some. Now there are some, on this web page as I see it, I see some basic conditions. I see that these positions are only available to those who are in the family of God. So it says, you must be a child of God. And it's desirable that you understand what it means to be a son, in inverted commas, of God. You see, these are the conditions. A son of God. And what's that mean? That means something like the maturity we've been thinking about. You know, my sons run my business. They didn't run my business when I was changing their nappies and wiping their noses. Why? Because they were babies. Now I sometimes think they'll wipe my nose. Because why? They've matured. I look at them and I say, they're my sons. I love that. Don't you like that? Oh, I mean, we're using a generic term here. We've got the girls missed out and they're all worried. The frowns are on their faces, but no. The daughter, then. It's the same standing in maturity. Wouldn't you like the master to look at you and say, she's my son. She's my daughter. He's my son. So you've got to be sons. You've got to be born into the family. Look, I pause here for a moment to ask you if you're all the Lord's, if you're all in the family. Oh, you know, you talk about getting saved, it's a beautiful word. You talk about not going to hell, that's a beautiful thought. But the most beautiful thought to me is that I'm a child of God. I belong to the King. You know, you could nearly sing it. Would you like? No, you won't. I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love. And He never forsaketh His own. He'll call me someday to His mansions above. I'll dwell by His glorified throne. Well, what's your pedigree? Oh, we go back, don't we? God saved me. God brought me into a family of generations of believers. Why? Because He couldn't trust me outside. Therefore, I've had to spend my life to try and get an understanding of what God has done for me. And I'm struggling with it because, you know, I've told you this before. Some people get that appreciation the night they trust the Saviour. But the old grandfather in 1882 was here, not in this hall, but just over the road, under the wing of old Mr. Knott, who took him from primitive Methodism and gave him a little understanding of what it's like to be what my brother Les has been talking about, a simple local assembly. Precious. You've got to be a citizen. You got your passport. Got your passport to heaven. Citizen. Our citizenship is in heaven. Christians are dwellers on earth, but citizens of heaven. And obliged by... It's all right. This is this is Handley Mull. You won't get as good from me, but you will. You'll have to listen to Handley Mull. Listen. Citizens of heaven are obliged by such a position to live, whether in that city or not as yet there, as those who belong to it and represent it. All got your passports, all citizens.
Do please turn your cassette over now to side B. Do not fast forward, but turn over at this point. I on side B, and the message will continue shortly.
Citizens of heaven are obliged by such a position to live, whether in that city or not as yet there, as those who belong to it and represent it. All got your passports, all citizens. Now, what about attitudes in this job search? You've got to be spiritual. You know what it means to be spiritual? The harvest of love, joy, peace, patience toward others, kindness, benevolence, good faith, meekness, self-restraint. A paraphrase of Galatians chapter 5. Say it again, please, Keith. Right. A harvest, I like that word, the fruit of this, a harvest in my life of love, joy, peace, patience toward others, kindness, benevolence, good faith, meekness and self-restraint. Pretty simple conditions to meet to fill out this application form for a position vacant, you say. Not so easy to meet that, is it? And I'm giving it to you, friends, because that should be our aim. We should be discovering how we can achieve that. Love. Well, we don't need to go much past that, because not only spiritual, but these applicants must be loving. And these applicants must be ambitious. And there's just another new word popped up on the web page even today, and it's committed. Here. A brand new word in the conditions required for the service of this master is got to be committed. Got to be children. Got to be citizens. Got to have the right attitude. Got to be spiritual. Got to be loving. Easy to be loving. Not hard, is it? You get all the negatives. Speaking with the tongues of men and of angels, but destitute of love, I become a loud-sounding trumpet or a clanging cymbal. Possess the gift of prophecy and am versed in all mysteries and knowledge and have such absolute faith that I can remove mountains. I'm destitute of love. I'm nothing. So we read on. Is that clock right? So you've got to be loving. Not hard. You've got to love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. Loving. You know, there's four words for love, aren't there, in the New Testament? Just two of them are the principal ones. One is a love of preciousness. Agape. Loving not to get loved in return, but loved because of the preciousness. And that's the way God loved me, because I was precious to him. Then there's the love of pleasurableness. Pleasurableness. That's the brotherly love. The love that flows between you and me and you, because we enjoy each other. And we've had quoted this afternoon, we love him. So easy, doesn't it? Just sort of falls off the tongue. It's the authorized version and it's so, we're comfortable with it. We love him because he first loved us, do we? Have you ever tried to find a definition for love? Don't think I've ever heard a preacher do it. Now, you're in for a treat because you're going to hear it for the first. What does it mean to love? Well, above all other things, because I'm not very good at definitions, it's to find absolute delight in. I see all the bright eyes of the spouses shining and the fiancés shining and the girlfriends and the boyfriends all shining because they know all about love. To delight in. Time's up. I'm only one third of the thing down my notes. I need to take on Wally, my brother Wally, and get right to the bottom. But anyhow, here it is. These are opportunities. Now, here they are. Take them home with you. Because I know there's somebody down there who want to have a preach. And I'm not going to do him out of it. There's a job going for a soldier. Bit of a thrill about that. The object of all weapons training is to teach all ranks the most efficient method of using their weapon in order to kill the most of the enemy. Did you learn that? Were you ever in the army? No, nor was I. But I was in the cadets. And we had a 303. We wanted the thrill of it. The object of all weapons training is to teach all ranks the most efficient method of using their weapon in order to kill the most of the enemy. Now, I was in the cadets because I was 17 or something, 16. If I was 16, I wouldn't be in the cadets again, but I'm never going to be 16, so it's never going to be a problem to me. But I wouldn't. There's something thrilling about being a soldier for God to fight the enemy and to be victorious. Oh, bang. Alex put the red light on me. There's something thrilling about being an athlete. It's very, very topical. Those remarkable people who achieve, succeed. So there's a conquest to be had in the Christian life. And there's a success to be sought after in the Christian life. And then there's the farmer. There are vacancies for farmers. And the farmer needs to be fruitful. So we've got conquests and victory. And we've got success and achievement. And we've got fruit bearing. Oh, and then there are many opportunities for builders. Now there's some builders here that really get a kick out of this. I can see my brother Reg in his earlier days going great guns, you know, foundations, walls, joists, you know, and the building's going up and it's got to be plumb and it's got to be right. And the builder has to eventually end up with a thing, with a product that is a pleasure to look at and a pleasure to the master. Builders. There is the odd job, you know, for the shepherds. There's an odd job for the shepherds. Because will there be a lot of applications for shepherds? Acts 20, you know. See the old man? He wasn't that old. But he's there with the elders from Ephesus, out on the seashore, and the tears are flowing. And he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over, not over, among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the flock of God, to shepherd the flock of God, to tend and to care for the flock of God. Lot to say about all that, couldn't you? Any applicants? Any applicants? I'll give you that web page again after the meeting if you'd like to apply. Because God wants soldiers. And God wants athletes. You know those athletes? They had to be true born. Handley Mull again. They had to be true born. They had to have 10 certified 10 months training before they applied to run in the race. I look at them, you know, they get up on these cold mornings and they go to those pools and they swim backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And they get on those bikes for the triathlon up Noosa Way and they ride up that range in the heat of the day. Crazy, you know. Crazy. All because they want to win the prize. Oh, no job search is of much value, is it? Unless there's some sort of remuneration at the end. 1 Corinthians 3 said, you'll receive a reward, just as simple as that. You'll receive a reward. Now, you can apply it yourself. Young folk, you can apply it yourself. The soldier must be not entangled with the affairs of this life. You might be called up soon to fight the Indonesians. Young men, young women, got 220 million and they don't like us. And we're here sitting pat and comfortable. Your faith is going to be tried. Maybe not in my lifetime, but in somebody's lifetime. Your faith is going to be tried. What are you going to do when you get the call up? I was called up for national service as a teenager. And they wouldn't have me because you can see I'm medically unfit. But my friends said no. We won't go. And the best reason I saw in the court for someone who refused to take up military service was, you know what? I have to be totally, unequivocally and absolutely under the control of another authority. I can't come and go as I wish. If I go, I go AWL, don't I? Without leave. I'm totally bound to the country to serve. I can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. And so he won his case. A soldier, an athlete, hardness, striving, straining every muscle, why? That I might please him. Pleasing him. When you speak to the Lord this evening in your room, will you have a conversation about this web page? You say, Lord, when I was at the conference today,
We heard about all these jobs going. Which one can I fill? Can I fight the world, the flesh and the devil? Can I go and run the race and achieve something for your glory? Can I labour like the farmer, labour to exhaustion, it says? So that I can produce something for you? Can I build something that, despite all my inadequacy, it will please you? And you young men and older men, and I'm thinking there mainly, those other jobs are unisex, they're for men and women, boys and girls. But this I'm thinking, and the shepherdesses, you know, not in the same sense, but I know you sisters are shepherdesses. You tend the sisters in the flock, don't you? Of course you do. But the brethren, they say, Lord, teach me how to be so tender toward the flock. Teach me how to be tender toward the flock. And my brother, the measure of my sincerity in the assembly is what I'm prepared to pay. Price I'm prepared to pay for the good of the sheep. How will it affect the sheep? This barney I'm having with my brother, this stand that I'm taking in defence of my rights, how will it affect the sheep? Oh, it would make me, if I thought about that, it would make me far more careful. Far more considerate. You know how I go out there and I grab them by the ear and I say, listen, you better pull your socks up, young fella. You know how you do that, don't you? Oh, we had a brother in Karoi used to do it, but he loved us. And so his ear's never been quite the same. You know how you do it? You do it on your knees and then you go to them and they're nasty to you and they're rude. You know, they're rude, and you love them just the same, and you keep at it and at it on your knees, and until, you know, I've been a most fortunate young man. I've had men that love me. They all signed, when I left Bethany as a young fella, they all signed Darby's Synopsis, you know, and gave me all those books and all those love. And I wouldn't have hurt them, but I probably did, but I didn't mean to hurt them. Then I got to Karoi and I found that just the same. Oh, if only I had that sort of heart, eh? And you know, when you're busy, Satan finds work for idle hands to do. When you're busy, you don't get involved in some of these untoward exercises. You know, if you're rushing around to get to work, you can't spend time on the phone talking about Keith Melville and all the things that he said Saturday night that were wrong and why don't they pull him into gear and you know all that? You can't. I'm going to conclude with a little piece of Ireland. Can I? No, don't put your hand up. But it must be because it was printed in Portadown. And see how old it is. And I was preparing my thoughts on this cyber sermon when that fell out of one of Dad's books. Dad being June's dad, you knew him, Dave Boyce, fell out of his book. And it's all about what happens when I'm not busy. And it's relevant, perhaps. You be the judge. Where there is no talebearer, the contention ceaseth. Proverbs 26 and 20. If you attempted to reveal a tale someone to you has told about another, make it pass before you speak 3 gates of gold. 3 narrow gates. First, Is it true? Then, is it needful? In your mind, give truthful answer. And the next is last and narrowest. Is it kind? And if to reach your lips at last it passes through these gateways three, then you may tell the tale, nor fear what the result of speech may be. Ambitious? That was one of the conditions. Did I tell you that? Ah, this is what I covet. Thy sweet, assuring smile. Man's praise, if I should love it, but would my heart beguile? I know that at thy coming, rich my reward shall be, if I be found well-pleasing, dear Master, unto thee.